to the second episode of Uber Cube, where we discuss all things cube while enjoying refreshments. This is your host, Anthony Adams, a.k.a. Uber Bear, and my co-host...
Stu.
And we're joined by...
I'm not going to go there with, like, you know...
Still working on that moniker. We're going to solve that soon.
Yeah.
And we're joined by our good friend, Christian Anderson, who's going to introduce himself and tell us a little bit about himself.
Yeah, I'm Christian Anderson. I've been playing for, I don't know, 10 years maybe. I got introduced to Magic by Anthony.
I'm a slinger.
He kind of forced me into it. I was like, oh, I play this game Dominion. It's like, oh, you should play Magic. It's so much better. I'm like, okay,
yeah,
sure.
It is.
And then I started around, what was it? Dragon Maze.
Which is a highly memorable set. Dragon Maze. That and Gate Crash, probably the best sets ever made.
I love Maze's End.
Boy, howdy, that is good stuff.
So before we get going, as in every episode, we're going to talk about the wonderful libations that we're all enjoying, and then we're going to roll up in a pack of one. So we're going to start out with, I'm being traditional tonight, and I'm having a Guinness Extra Stout. Man, when I was in the Air Force, I went to Shannon, Ireland, and I remember... legally drinking a Guinness overseas at age 19. And I don't know, man, this is just quality. And you know what they didn't know about themselves? It's a low-calorie beverage. Yeah, man, they even said it. They didn't know that they were a light beer. Moving on to Stu, who is?
I am also drinking a Guinness. Yeah, it's my go-to. I am kind of... I'm trying to watch the pounds, you know. I'm in my 40s now. I can't just drink what I want and eat what I want like I could when I was, you know, in my 20s. So yeah, this is a beautiful beer to me. It's kind of it's the Bud Light for the aficionados, in my opinion. You know, it's you're getting the same beer every time you crack that bottle. You know what you're getting. It's delicious.
It makes you cube better.
And Christian, tell us what you're drinking.
I'm drinking Elysian Space Dust. I got into the IPA game a little bit late, and I'm just off form right now. And
yeah, man,
it's a great beer.
And it's just something we enjoy while drafting it. I mean, if that's why we're including this in this podcast. I mean, we're sitting back, we're hanging with our friends on a Sunday afternoon, drafting up some Magic, you know, bantering back and forth, talking a little bit of, and this just kind of. It brings the A game, man. Your lines get stronger, not so strong.
Sure. Stronger. Let's go with
that. So we're going to start out with a pack one, pick one. We have got Sandwiches Power Cube, a.k.a. Chris Moore, one of our good friends who is a cube curator. And we're going to start out. Stu's going to read the cards out to us one by one, and then we're going to do our pack one, pick ones.
All right. So, I don't know. Nothing crazy in this one, but we'll see what everyone thinks. So we got Torrential Gear Hulk. A Gruul Signet, Venza, Shaper Savant, Dance of the Dead, Wildfire, Oblivion Ring, Jiraga Tree Speaker, Nature's Chant, Cave of the Frost Dragon, Gutter Bones, Pest Infestation, Inquisition of Kozilek, Snuff Out, Kithian, Hero of Akros, and Phyrexian Metamorph. So
I'm going to start out with my personal.
All right.
Because I came out the gate. I'm a Stax player. I'm a nice person, but I don't sometimes play Magic the nicest way. My little spike comes online, and I want to go hyper-efficient. I want to get that hand disruption on. It may not be the most open play, but I'm going to choose Inquisition of Kozilek. I want to get in there. I want to interrupt that game plan early on, and it's efficient. And if I can get that turn one... on the play, drop down, and I can just disrupt your hand and well, frankly, mess up your game plan. It's my version of fun. If I wanted to stay open, I would lean towards the Cave of the Frost Dragon because it's just a great man land.
Yep.
It's not a Celestial Colonnade, but it's close to it, and it keeps you semi-open. And then Gruul Signet would call that. But for now, I'm just going to kind of bank on the Kozilek, if I would. Stu?
All right. I'll be honest. That's such a great pick. Inquisition of Kozilek. Like you say, dropping that turn one, grabbing something out of your opponent's hand that's just going to screw their game plan up, and hey, maybe you're taking a Signet, maybe you're taking a counterspell. It's just, it's rock solid. I'll love me some turn one.
And if they want to counterspell it, same difference.
I'm happy to take a Force of Will and another card out of your hand for my Inquisition of Kozilek. I think Inquisition of Kozilek is incredible.
And
I think
Christian,
it's a strong pick.
Working on this moniker as well.
I will say, however.
More.
I do like me some Phyrexian Metamorph. I like it because it's got Phyrexian in the name and the mana cast. You can stay open with it. It's a great disruptive card. I think it keeps you open while also having a powerful effect. And I'm also digging some Venza Shapers.
I know that
you're
not a curator. And we're going to fix
that. I'm not.
We're going to fix that. But how would you classify Phyrexian Metamorph? As a blue card? Or would you put it in a color section in your imaginary cube environment?
I'm putting it as a colorless card because I don't have to spend blue mana to cast it.
Yeah, I put it in my blue real estate, but I can respect that. That's one of those questions that come up often.
And I'll tell you another one, and I know I'm picking, like, this is pick one, pack one, and it's like my eighth choice at this point, maybe. One card I've been seriously impressed with is Pest Infestation. If you can get that down... Crazy. I'm telling you, you get a bit of ramp early on, you can take out a couple of artifacts, even if it's just one, get a couple of creatures down, either as blockers, or maybe you've got some aggro situation going on. I think that's a great card.
What's so interesting about that card, too, is you can actually just pay zero into it. So you can pay one green, and you don't have to have a viable target. You can just get the pest.
Hey, it's great for Storm.
Yeah, it doesn't say must.
That's you can destroy zero.
So that card is something. You know, I didn't even consider that, but you got me double backing. So the cards that beckon to me here is definitely Kozilek, because efficiency. Now you've got me on the pest. And then Snuff Out, because it's free, or potentially free. But, you know, not every matchup.
I don't dog you. All right, Christian, what are you thinking for us?
Well, funny you should say Snuff Out. That would be probably my pack one, pick one, because... I just like prioritizing removal first.
Free spells.
Free removal, nonetheless, is great.
Yeah, that can't be.
And then second would be the cave because, just staying open and having a man land.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah. So thank you, Samich, a.k.a. Chris, for bringing such a beautifully curated powered cube. It is a 450 power cube located on Cube Cobra. If you guys are interested, go check it out. This cube is... amazing.
All right, so episode 2, and here we're going to talk about I dig this topic. All right, this is one that I think overall, just as not just from a Q perspective, but I think you can talk about these bad boys in any format, either EDH, 60 card or cube. And it is lands, and specifically lands matters in cube. So this is a package that we're looking at, and we're looking at things like resource denial, mid-range strategies, creature ramp, landfall effects, the whole nine yards. Anything that's to do with getting lands out, getting them out quickly, getting specific lands out, or just making the lands do all the work. That's what we're talking about
and
with this one.
And frankly, a fun archetype and a powered vintage in cube.
Yep.
It's something I've recently, and I say recent, within the last 6 months, 8 months, I've added to my powered vintage. And if I'm being honest, I did it because Caleb Gannon kind
of... Shout out.
Yeah, he kind of did the pathfinding a little bit in this one. So I just thought it was the coolest thing ever. And you know what? I wanted some unique play experiences that could cross-pollinate into other design spaces, other archetypes, cards that strangely synergized outside the box. So we'll go over the pieces and what you can kind of add, some of my trials and errors.
All right. So it's lands. Anytime you're talking about with ramp especially, typically you start gravitating towards green, right? Green is where the majority of either the high quality ramp or even the sort of sac and fine lands, it's all going to happen in green. So we'll start out with a couple of additions that really do support the Lands Matters package. And the first one I'm going to talk about is one of my favorites is Crop Rotation. So it's one green instant. As an additional cost, you sacrifice a land, you go get a land from your library and put it on the battlefield and shuffle. I love this card.
Yep.
I think the ability to just go and sacrifice a land, a basic land, whatever the case may be, to go and get any land, you could go get yourself
Field of the Dead.
You could go get a Field of the Dead, which obviously Phyrexian with some other cards... Phyrexian Tower. Absolutely. Heck, maybe you're a crazy guy and you decide to go get a Strip Line or a Strip Line or a Wasteland or
which,
something.
Which, by the way, are like, the key components here. But yeah.
Absolutely.
Didn't want to go, oh, S tier.
Yeah, like I'm going straight for the throat if I'm going this. Like you got to go crazy with something like that. I mean... You know, I think lands are not understated by any stretch in a cube environment, right? Or in any environment in Magic. So I think just the ability to go and get any one of them, put it straight on the battlefield, not tapped, just straight on, super awesome.
Instant speed, crop rotation, one green, let you get whatever land you want and drop it on the battlefield with no conditions other than the sacrifice. Just... For me, as a curator, paired well with the signpost and messaging that I wanted to do to really signal this archetype, and that it's a card that you wouldn't be ashamed to run in other archetypes as well, just to move forward to get key pieces. So for me, it was a shoe-in. Primarily, though, my driving factor was definitely Field of the Dead. I wanted something so I can grab that, you know, key component that I wanted to support. The next one we have up is Avenger Zendikar. Now, this one I don't see as on as many of lists as, you know, used to be, because Carnage Tyrant, being just the hexproof, big, dumb beater that it is, kind of steals the show from it. But this is another card that I decided to curate to really signal the payoff, to really incentivize people to want to do something a little different. Now, admittedly so, as a curator, I'm not going to say that this is the most powerful card. I'm going to say that it's exceptionally strong card. Well, yeah. I mean, I wanted to try to do a super broken, degenerate environment, but I wanted to have fun,
it's
man.
It's a fun card.
I didn't want linear games.
I agree. It's a fun card. If fun is putting plus one counters on a bunch of little insects.
Yeah. Or they're sapling.
They're plant creatures. They're plants, but I'm going to call them insects.
We'll call them insects,
But yeah, I think there's a fun involved. I think anytime you just get to do a bunch of stuff on your board and all you had to pay for it was you put a land down, and heaven forbid that land is a fetch land.
Yeah.
And you're bouncing, or you're putting two counters, that can be pretty powerful.
Yeah, I mean, Prismatic Vista, etc. I mean, I wanted this to be a card that really signposts people in. And you know what? It's a big green payoff, too. I mean, on curve, let's just go seven on curve, 7/0/1 plants, and then just drop down, you know, ramp up. I mean, it's just a fun card. Yeah, will it not win the game? No, but... Craterhoof Behemoth says it will.
Craterhoof is probably winning the game. Heck, Finale of Devastation is going to win the game if you're playing something like that.
So, I mean, you can top it off. You can top it off.
Yeah.
But I wanted something that made land matters just shout at you when you're drafting. And I wanted people to smile while drafting my cube. I wanted to get rid of the traditional, just linear, repetitive play that I found my cube started to do. I mean, that can happen in a vintage environment.
Sure.
Our next card is Dryad of Elysian Grove. This is argumentatively not going to be the creme de la creme. But this card is a nice it's a nice piece. It pulls it together. It's a tie that binds.
I think it's a nice card. Yeah. I think it's definitely... If I'm drafting anything where the lands are a big deal, especially if I've got any way to either... bounce things back to my hand, or you know, get multiple lands back to my hand with something like Renan 6, or you know, play lands off the top of my library, I'm digging that. It's fixing as well.
It allows a chromatic lantern on legs.
Yeah, I mean, why for 3 mana? It's a 2/4. It's a great blocker as well when you're thinking about, I don't want to be slapped by, you know, a Thalia Guardian of Thraben for the first 3 or 4 turns. You stick this down, and it's a really, really efficient blocker
initially. I mean, it's great. It's a defensive body, it completes your mana, and it ramps. So it's another signpost for the archetype.
Absolutely.
That's why I chose to include it.
Yep, I like it.
Well, one of them that's on this list, and I later omitted it, but I will mention it, was Explore. You can play an additional land on its turn. The reason why I chose to cut Explore, because it does... Exploration. Pardon. exploration, correction, edit. It's one of those things that just over time doesn't do anything on its own. I was trying to overly signal the archetype, so this is one of those trial and errors to try to get it down. But frankly, it doesn't have legs on it, and it's not overly appealing. It's 23 pick. Not much more to say than that.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan. No. I think it's maybe a fun commander card.
I think you could probably get some use out.
But in a you know, a high power vintage cube environment, I'm not running.
I'd rather have a fast bond or something.
Exactly.
Like, yeah. I mean,
exactly.
Yeah, mistakes were made. That's part of curating a cube, is that it is if you think that you can build a cube the first time and it's gonna come out perfect and be your art, your final spoiler alert iteration 1076 on a Saturday night. Yep. We'll get back to you. Our next card, and I'm allow Stu to read this one.
This card, I like it for about 3,000 reasons. The first one, notwithstanding, is the art, because Magali Villeneuve is just absolutely one of my most favorite Magic the Gathering artists. I think her work is insane. So, pretty straightforward. When she enters the battlefield, return Titania.
Correction.
Return target land card from your graveyard to the battlefield. And then whenever a land you control is put into a graveyard from the battlefield, you create a 5/3 green elemental creature token. Now, let's just immediately start out with those numbers. 5/3, that is a house. I mean, that is absolutely gigantic. And we don't even have to start talking about any land destruction effects like Strip Mine or Wasteland or Ghost Court or anything else. Let's talk about fetch lands, right? And anyone who's a player of a cube or EDH at any kind of decent level will know you value fetch lands higher than any other fixing when it comes to lands, right? Fetch lands are the absolute king. So anytime you crack a fetch, you get a 5/3. And then you can start talking about Wasteland, Strip Mine, absolutely devastating potentially for your Siren opponent. Orb, right?
Which I don't run, but I mean, if you want to go bonkers.
Exactly, right? So to me, this card is just the best payoff for any kind of theme where you're trying to get lands from the battlefield into your graveyard. Just from a look how beautiful the art is. Look how cool she looks with all those trees, and you get 5/3s.
Yeah, on a side note, they don't have evasion. They can be chumped. I mean, this is all a fair argument. And this doesn't show up in every list, but for me, once again, this was a signpost. I wanted to emphasize the payoffs of doing this package. And, man, it's just a fun card. Yeah, dies to bolt. Fair argument.
It's a fun card. It's not super powerful.
It's not super powerful.
She's not. There's nothing super strong about her, but she is fun.
If on a fun factor level, I would argue that this Land Matters package is amazing. On a power level, it's not one of the highest tiers that I support.
Nope.
But when it comes together, it's a symphony.
Yes.
Yeah. And you know what? Sometimes it's about the symphony. Let's go to our next card.
All right. So the next card.
Yeah, we can talk about Harrow.
So the next one is Harrow. 2 colorless, 1 green, instant. As an additional cost, sack a land, and then you go to search a library for 2 basic lands, put them on the battlefield, and then shuffle.
Spoiler alert, works with Titania.
Spoiler alert, it does.
Yeah.
I'm not going to put this in a vintage cube, certainly not in a 540 or a 360. I just don't think it's good enough.
Which is why I've later cut it. But I do support it in my horror cube. It's because it costs 3, and the efficiency of some of these cards, even though this is instant, has fallen from favor over time. They cultivate Sakadama's Reach. I still run them because I'm at 540, so I can curate a little bit more loosey-goosey at time. I'm not that super streamlined list when you get down to 360s, or even Samich's, as we did pack one, pick one, his 450 powered, he doesn't have that leniency to test at that level.
Yeah, it becomes pretty streamlined.
I get some
at that point.
540, the reason why it's my favorite, I get wiggle room, and I can do things like this. And this is another card that's a tie that binds. It's a role player.
Yes. It's a support card for sure.
Yeah.
But I don't love it.
I don't love it either.
I don't love it.
But I won't be ashamed to draft it.
I won't be ashamed to draft it either, because it does have one very important keyword, or lack thereof, which is tapped. So it's costing you three, and sure, you have to sacrifice a land, but you can tap, that you can sacrifice one of those. Yeah, you're getting two lands. Like, that could be great fixing. It could be great utility. Heck, maybe you want to go and get something. You're just an absolute psychopath, and I'm going to sack land, and I'm going to go and get wasteland and strip mine, because I'm maybe I'm a lunatic and I'm playing a green deck, and the only reason I'm playing green is for fixing, and I want to go and get two different lands. Or maybe I'm just afraid that, you know what, I've got a tropical island and I've got another, you know, dual land on the battlefield, and I don't want to have them destroyed, so I'm going to sack them both to Harrow, or sack one to Harrow, and I'm going to go get myself two basics. So
sure,
maybe.
Sure. I mean, it's just a key piece of ramp. All right, so we're going to move on to the gold card. So one of the key pieces is Renin 6. Now, I love this card. Not only do I run this card in my Land Matters package in my 540 powered vintage cube, but I also run this in my Booger Rigamos and Rage deck. This card is sick. I mean, it made waves. Matter of fact, it's getting a reprint soon. We're pretty hype about that.
Yep.
I'm going to see if I can get a foil. But, Stu, I don't have my reading glasses.
So, plus one, return up to one target land card from your graveyard to your hand. Minus one, Renin 6 deals one damage to any target. Minus seven, you get an emblem with instant and sorcery cards in your graveyard have retrace. It costs one green, one red, and comes in with three loyalty. And yeah, I love this card. I have a copy for my Rurik Thar EDH deck. Obviously, in a deck like that where I'm trying to destroy a bunch of lands, the ability to just be able to take one back every turn and start rebuilding quicker than hopefully anyone else can is super strong. The one damage to any target is not to be scoffed at. I mean, bye-bye Birds of Paradise, bye-bye Barb, bye-bye Noble Hierarch, bye-bye Ignoble Hierarch. So to me, this is a premier card. And certainly, I've seen it discussed as maybe one of the defining modern cards. And I have to agree, I think it's just sensational.
Yeah, you can strip mine and lock somebody. I mean, it's secondary support to a Crucible package.
Yep.
I mean, you can go nuts, which is the key piece here. But I wanted to expand upon that. Our next card is going to be Squandered Resources. Now, this card is busted as AF. I mean, it's almost Earthcraft disgusting if you play this right. And it pairs with Titania.
Yes, again, it does.
So it's one green, one black, and you can sacrifice a land. As your mana pool, one...
add to your mana pool, one mana of any type. The sacrifice land could produce. So a little bit of a drawback, which I think is almost necessary, because it would be completely broken if you could just sacrifice it for any color. But even still, it's very, very strong.
I forgot my glasses.
That's okay. I can read for you. You're older than I am.
Our next card.
Boomer
Stu's got to read.
Boomer Vision. All right. So... Knight of the Reliquary, one colorless, one green, one white, plus one for each land card in your graveyard. You can tap and sacrifice a forest or plains. Search your library for a land card, put it on the battlefield, then shuffle your library. And I gotta say, any card like this that has an effect that allows you to pull a land directly from your library and stick it on the battlefield, and it's not a basic, it's not has a land type, it's literally any land, I'm about it.
Yeah. Our next piece that we're going to talk about is the Gitrod Monster. I love this guy.
The frog.
This frog is disgusting. This frog is another one. I'm going to continue the same thing. It's not the most powerful, but it's sexy.
It's a sexy card. It's the sexiest frog. And I don't know what on earth it's got hanging out of his mouth, but it is the sexiest frog. It could be Thalia's arm. We'll go with Thalia's arm.
We all know.
Yeah.
So tell us what the Gitrod Monster does.
All right. 6/6 with death touch. Beginning of your upkeep, sacrifice Gitrod Monster unless you sacrifice a land. You may play an additional land card on each of your turns. Whenever one or more lands are put into your graveyard from anywhere, draw a card.
Yeah, now this for
favorite
one green.
Words in Magic.
Yep.
Draw a card.
Drawing those cards, baby. That's right.
Yeah, nobody likes drawing cards in Magic. The Gitrog monster cost you one forest, one swamp, and three colorless. All of this is another signpost supports that loop that I was talking about before, where you want to strip mine lock, you want to get some wasteland, you want to get some Field of the Dead going on. It all fully supports that, which we're migrating over into our color section. Our next card that we're going to talk about, we're going to talk about some lands. And some of these I have cut. But I'm going to mention them anyways, because if you have the room for expansion. So Dust Bowl was one of them that I put in there. Not a premier piece. But I wanted to emphasize, perhaps overemphasize, the archetype. And I wanted to give players more redundancy at 540. Because that's one of the things that can oftentimes happen with a little bit larger list is, while you're drafting these, you can hit these, I hate to use the word parasitic, or trip mines, or basically cards that lead people down a path that's not the intention of the curator. So I wanted to put a few more redundancy cards in there.
I don't dislike Dust Bowl. It's no strip mine, it's no wasteland, but I like the fact that you get to sacrifice another land. It does not sacrifice itself when you want to destroy a target non-basic. And it does also tap for colorless mana, same that Stripmine does, same that Wasteland does. It requires a little bit more setup. But I could see in any cube, if you're really, really trying to curate a land destruction rather than a mass land destruction, and you just want to put a bunch of redundant effects that do that, I can see that finding.
And this card is solid in Commander, as a shout out to Commander players. I mean, it gets work done. I mean, you can, and on top of that, you know, it's destroy target non-basic land, so you can deal with your problematic man lands, you know?
Absolutely.
I mean, Celestial Colonnade, beat you to death.
Get rid of a Valakut, get rid of a Field of the Dead.
Yeah. So if people run those cards, I mean, Phyrexian Tower. So it can let you take off key pieces on the other land matters or the other piece.
Yep.
But it's not to be scoffed at. It's just, for me personally, I was running out of real estate and I wanted to try new cards. I'm as most cube curators, I have a living cube and new sets come out and, well, I need space. So, and I was perhaps overemphasizing the archetype. The next one is actually a card that I wanted more redundancy, and it was Field of Ruin. Field of Ruin also taps for one colorless mana, but also you can pay two, sacrifice Field of Ruin, destroy target non-basic land and opponent controls. Each player searches their library for a basic land card, puts it on the battlefield, and shuffles. Now, as you may have heard, it replaces itself, both for you as the attacker in this idea, but also the defensive player gets it too.
Yep.
Now, that's not an ideal situation, but again, it goes back to the problematic Celestial Colonnades when you're getting just browbeat by the flyer that you can't deal with.
Yeah, I don't hate it. I'm more focused on the really problematic lands. You know, Field of the Dead is definitely a concern. Valakut is definitely a concern. Obviously, if you've got support for Merrick Lage tokens, you know, trying to get those dark depth combos going, you know, or the Dark Depths package in there, then, you know, why not? Even, you know, Thespian Stage, Dark Depths is, you know, I would be surprised if there weren't plenty of people out there running that package. And it's another card that deals with it. So, yeah, why not?
Yeah, I particularly don't run the Valakut or the Thespian Stage combo. Mm-hmm. I've considered it, but it's in a 540 environment. The list is too expanded for you to hit the pieces, and I think I could be building some traps. So I kind of avoided that. I wanted to be a little bit tighter. Field of the Ruin was just for redundancy sakes again. I mean, I just want more stuff. Now, the next card that we're going to talk about, and it's going to go in tandem with this idea, is Golos, the Tireless Pilgrim.
Yeah.
This card's a house.
Yeah, Golos, recently banned from... Was it banned from EDH or something recently?
Yes.
I think it was. Golos was banned from EDH. Yeah. So 5 colorless, 3/5. When it enters the battlefield, search your library for a land card, not just the basic, any land card, and put it onto the battlefield. Tapped, womp, but oh well. And then shuffle, and then the creme de la creme of abilities for Golos. Pay 2 colorless Wooburg. Exile the top 3 cards of your library. You may play them this turn without paying their mana costs.
Look, spin that wheel. I mean, it's a mana seek.
I want to spin every single opportunity I can get. Look, Golos is stupid strong, right? It was banned in EDH for, well, someone had their reasons. I don't think I agree with it, but someone obviously didn't like it. I think it's a very, very powerful card.
For me, I run it as a Solemn Simulacrum variant. It's an upgrade. It's got a 3-5 stat line on it. While it does cost 5, it gets the non-basic. In this case, the Field of the Dead card, which is the chase card here, or Strip Mine, or Wasteland. Or, you know, you just need to complete your mana. I mean, that's why I chose to do it. The spin the wheel portion, that's fantastic. 5-color curation with the new triomes and all that. I imagine this card's even more nuts in those environments.
It's getting easier.
I don't support the triomes. I will in time.
You should.
I will in time. But for now, I'm not in love with them. I have a love-hate with them. That 3 cycling isn't the catch-all for me.
They're fetchable. They have all 3 basic land types.
Enters the battlefield tap. I mean, it's an argument. I've seen going back and forth on this one, but yeah.
We'll talk about that.
We'll talk about
maybe
it.
Maybe when we're done recording and I'm a fast land,
slow land cat right now. The next card is so good. The one that if you're not playing it and you have the real estate for it, this card is nuts. It is. Field of the Dead. I know that it's one of those people who have been a little hesitant to dip their feet in the water. Like, can I hit the 7 in a vintage cube? Shockingly enough, the answer is yes. You'd be surprised. When you're going the long game and you want to be in a control deck and you want a finisher that you're not doing really any investment for, this card is a house.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's super, super strong. The fact that it enters tapped is unfortunate. But whatever, 7 lands really isn't super difficult to get to. Tap and add Colossus, great, kind of gravy. But like you say, it's such a great control deck finisher. It's super, super powerful. Actually, I've seen recently a vintage deck that literally has, I would say, 35 out of 60 lands. And it's all control and then just dropping Field of the Dead, getting lands out, sacrificing lands. Strip Mine, Wasteland, just the whole package of lands control, and then just swinging with Field of the Dead zombies. And so, it is
Field of the Dead, for people who are not familiar, whenever Field of the Dead or another land enters the battlefield under your control, if you control 7 or more lands with different names, that's the key word, create a 2/2 black zombie creature token.
Yep.
Aside from your basic lands, spoiler alert, and most vintage cubes that run a singleton format, they're all going to have different names. This card is not something that you're going to have to try hard to make come online. It's a late game card, granted, but you could run this in Super Friends. You could run this in a control finisher. You can virtually run it in any shell. It's going to give you a late game payoff.
So here's an interesting question. If you're running Field of the Dead in your vintage cube, and why wouldn't you? Because it's an awesome card, right? Would you consider, just for the purpose of this one card, running some kind of mixture of snow basics and regular basics?
I had considered it, and because it would turn it on. And I do that in my Barbaros and Rage deck. Mm-hmm. The thought did cross my mind. For me as a curator, I just didn't want to have extra lands. And I love my Comet basics that I have. I mean, My Mark Poole comics, I can't. I don't. I'm not in love with another idea outside of that. Go ahead, Christian.
Yeah, no. For me, I first pick lands anyways, and just try to get all the lands, and then worry about trying to get what I'm actually playing afterwards. So if you're already doing that, this is just a grand slam. You're just picking lands and then finding your lane later. So why not run this?
Yeah, and Christian's actually used this to great effect. I mean, he's an experimental drafter. Sometimes I'm an efficiency drafter. If we had to label us, I'm going for the primo card, and he's going for the card that sounds awesome. And he's taken this Lands Matters package and he's crushed me with it as I've sat back.
Yes, I have been destroyed by Christian's experimental brews more times than I really care to think about.
I mean, it's just fun. You get to do different things. You don't always have to draft with the utmost efficiency. Just pick lands and find your lane, man.
He is not a spike. We're going down to our next card.
All right, so listen. Any card that has nickname the Angry Jelly Bean... as Anthony spits his Guinness all down his beautiful Michigan shirt. Angry Jellybean, Omnath Locus of Creation, one red, one green, one white, one blue. When it enters the battlefield, do the best thing ever, draw a card. Landfall, whenever a land enters the battlefield under your control, gain 4 life. If it's the first time, it's resolved. This turn, if it's the second time, add red, green, white, blue. And if it's the third time, deals 4 damage to each opponent and each planeswalker you control. There's so much support for this card. It's just nuts.
Yeah, it was something I held off for a little while. So this is the only outside of my typical guilds that I go outside of my gold section. I don't support a lot of... Actually, I support no shards or anything like that. But I decided to take a leap of faith on this card. And I'm still waiting for the payoff, if I'm being honest. I haven't seen a drafter hit it, but I think it's a strong payoff for a Lands Matters package.
Do you have a particular card in mind? I love it.
I want to see somebody hit this. I haven't seen it yet, but it's going to come up in a draft soon. It's definitely, for me as a curator, it's an experimental phase, and I want to see this pan out, but I think it has a good payoff.
If I can get this, right?
Yeah.
I'm going for Scape Shift.
Well, I don't run Scape Shift.
So I know you don't.
Good luck with that.
But you know what? If you did.
If I did.
And this is me saying, maybe you should put it in there.
No.
If I could pick Omnath, I'm trying to get both. I'm trying to get it. I'm trying to sack every land. I'm trying to have a blast with it.
And this is why I'm the curator, and they are the players.
I'm trying to do fun stuff. I mean, not every time. I mean, I like to do my broken stuff.
I'd have to have a 1,300 cube to meet all the requirements.
Challenge accepted. Let's draft it.
We're going
to
move on. We are not following Wooburg at all, but this is more of a fun conversation about all the pieces. And you know what? I'd like to pause, and you'll probably notice as we call out some of these cards, they may already be in your list. That was one of the key points that I kind of jumped right over in the beginning. But adding a Lands Matters package to your powered, unpowered cube, a lot of these components are already there. I only added like 14 cards.
Well, let's talk about the next card, Anthony. And to me, this is the greatest example of a card that should really be organically in a lot of vintage cubes, and just is so wonderful for this for this theme.
Yeah. Courser of Kruphix costs 2 green and 1 colorless. It is an enchantment creature, Centaur. 2/4 stats on it. Play with the top card of your library revealed. You may play the top card of your library if it's a land card. Whenever land enters the battlefield under your control, gain 1 life. That card was already in there. That is a major component for most green sections. It's a good mid-range card, part of the Unga Bunga package if you needed to label it, but before that label even existed. It's just a top. I would say this is A-team, not quite S-tier. Is a utility component that will get you there.
I mean, I'm thinking the first card, especially one that I think synergizes so well with this in a kind of strange way, is Fastbond, right? You're trying to put all your lands, if you've got some kind of way to either bounce a bunch of lands or just draw a bunch of cards, if you've got Fastbond and Courser of Kruphix, you're dumping every single land from your hand at no penalty to your life. So,
yeah, not that the life gain matters so much, but definitely information, though, is...
Yep.
And you know what? The 2/4 body, it's a nice mid-range card to combat that aggro, white weenie, mono-red, turning sideways. And then, 100%. That life gain that can keep you in a game. They can give you some existence.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. The next one we've got is, and this is a unique addition that I've actually been, it complements the Courser, in my opinion, is the Augur of Autumn. Stu, you want to read that one?
Yeah, this is Augur of Autumn, 1 colorless, 2 green. You may look at the top of your library at any time. That's an effect that I'm just completely in love with. You may play lands from the top of your library. Again, really, really strong effect. And then Coven. As long as you control 3 or more creatures with different powers, you may cast creature spells from the top of your library. And I'll say this. There was a big reason why Lurrus was so immediately understood as being broken, right? And Lurrus is a great creature, right? Is it super powerful? Yeah. Probably not. But anytime you have the ability to have a card that's not in your hand or some way to gain an advantage with cards, people are going to look to abuse it, right? That's the reason why Companion has changed. And it's a reason why I think this can really do some work.
Yeah, getting that knowledge at the top of your library, I mean, it's powerful. Now, this is just information that you can keep to yourself with Augur.
Exactly.
So super secret. But yeah, you can control the message.
Yeah.
Our next card is going to be one of those ones that I mentioned before. I like them. Not everybody's going to love it, but it's going to be a duo. It's going to be Cultivate and Kadama's Reach. They're both going to have the same function. Most of these cards already exist, or at least one of them in a lot of lists. Now, I know they have in time, rampant growth has grown favoritism because of the efficiency. But for me, I wanted to round out a few decks still need this, like some of your big greens and stuff like that. And it just harmoniously falls within the idea or the archetype of a Lands Matters just by the virtue of what the card does.
Yeah. And I will say, like, Lands Matters, if you were going to sort of move just briefly away from that theory and that archetype for a moment and just look really at the fun factor, right? So playing monocolored decks, right? It's not unfun to play mono red burn or mono green creatures or mono white, you know, Thalia and all that fun stuff, right? But being able to just take a bunch of four or five color good stuff is pretty awesome.
It gives you versatility.
It does give you versatility and it gives you some fun, right? If I want to be able to, you know, at least attempt to support being able to play four and five or even three color decks, being able to, you know, get my land drops out and get my color fix in, I'm going to play them.
Christian has something.
Also goes well with the challenge to play Omnath.
Yeah, it does, in fact. It does. It helps you get your pieces.
Sure does.
Granted, it's three. Efficiency is no longer there, but I still think that these are role players. And if you have the real estate within your cube and you have the ability to curate it, then it's fine. I'm at 540. I can get away with a little bit more. I can see these getting removed from tighter list.
Also, if you have power, you can potentially play this on like turn.
Yeah, yeah. You can wail it out with Soul Rings. And power, Soul Rings. Et
you could do this like turn one.
It's ramp. Yeah. And it's fast. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Which is our next word.
You got a mana crypt in a forest. You're banging it out.
Fast Bond.
Yeah, Fast Bond. It's pretty outstanding. What is this to say? You just get to play an enchantment for one green and then dump every single land from your hand onto the battlefield. Would be absolutely terrible if, like, I had a forest and some mountains and a Wheel of Fortune. Yikes. Yeah, I mean, how excited would you be to draw a hand and have, like, six lands and a Time Twister or six lands and a Wheel of Fortune?
Yeah,
beautiful.
This card is another one, because I'm at 540, that I can have my cube. Is it inconsistent? It can be. It kind of goes, it's almost in my mind on the same plane, not the same, but as Exploration or a Burgeoning, not to make the direct comparison. But it doesn't have to have, it has to have support. You have to have the land. So it can be a shortcoming of the card. But if you crank this out, you can blow games out. So it's almost a win more card that can happen to coexist with a Land Matters deck. The next card that we're going to talk about, speaking of upheaval.
So, and the other card, love me with some Fast Bond, is some Upheaval.
Yeah, that's fair.
Got an Upheaval.
One of my favorite cards.
Yeah, Upheaval, beautiful, beautiful magic card. Just dump a bunch of stuff down, get your Upheaval going, drop all of your lands back down, game over.
Fair magic.
Fair magic. The way Garfield intended.
The way Garfield intended.
All right, so next one we're going to talk about is Life from the Loam. One colorless, one green. Return up to three target lands from your graveyard to your hand. Dredge three.
So the word dredge immediately calls to my mind Reanimator. So this was a card that I already had in my cube that some lists have removed over time. But for me in particular, I've had so much fun with this.
I don't know if I would play this in a Reanimator deck.
Dredge three. It's letting you hit your pieces. Yeah. It's an alternate way of doing it.
It's
while combining with a Lands Matters tempo type idea.
Okay, if you're trying to combine
hybrid.
The two,
you can hybrid out. You can hybrid out. Yeah. So when you build these archetypes and these pieces, these components that we're talking about today, they synergize with a lot of other archetypes, the cross-pollination is very much there.
Sure.
And that's what I'm trying to emphasize with this entire package. This package is, or it can be, a bit of a utility role-player type package.
Yeah, like some, a support package.
Yeah, with some interesting role players in it. But these pieces align with a lot of the archetypes that you can find in your typical vintage cubes, or in this case, very much mine. My 540 vintage is running this. The next one that's going to fall in alignment with this idea is going to be
Oracle of Moldiah. Three colorless, one green. You may play an additional land on each of your turns. Play with the top card of your library revealed. And you may play the top card of your library if it's a land card. Yeah. I mean, pretty solid. The only thing I wish about Oracle of Moldiah, just from a power level perspective, I wish it was a 2/3.
Yeah,
it would block
a little better. Yeah, it would be a mythic at that point.
But I'm being really nitpicky.
But this is another card that's going to exist in a lot of lists and just harmoniously falls within, air quotes, a Lands Matters package. And that's what I'm really trying to stress this episode, is that these cards were already in my cube. I just added some key pieces, and bada boom, bada bing, I've got me a pretty neat little archetype.
I'm telling you right now, the enablers, and you know, we can certainly look at some of the newer cards, right? We've talked about it already. Something like Renin 6, the ability to play an additional land. If you are at a point in any game of Magic, unless your opponent has a really well-established board state, if I can string two strip mines together a turn, it is game over. I don't care how many other lands I'm struggling with. If I can just completely deny you of resources until you somehow magically are able to find, you know, mountains and a lightning bolt, for example, that is really devastating.
Brings me to my Runanap Excavator.
Runanap Excavator.
Runanap. I cannot say that word.
Ramunap. Ramunap Excavator.
It's going to be the equivalent of, it's a crucible of worlds. I have never got it right.
It's crucible on a stick.
It's crucible on a stick, and it just chains with the idea of Oracle when you're just strip mind locking. I mean, this is some awful magic that you can do.
It sure is.
Anytime I say strip mind lock, people cringe. We have some people in our play group that they scoop it up for the game, they scoop it up permanent.
Cube is, to me, the place where you play the absolute just ridiculous shit and just like totally annihilate everybody. That's the outlets that you have for Cube, is just like,
we've made
nasty
it in,
stuff.
We've made it into it our then. Mean outlet for our EDH group. If we want to be a little bit meaner and have our aggression come out, we bust out the power cube.
I have my EDH decks that I play when I want to win on turn 3 or turn 4. And then I have my, you know, Slimefoot the Stowaway decks where I want to win on, you know, turn never or turn 30. But, yeah.
And then we're going to go through it. We're going to speed it up a little bit. But one of our cards that we've got coming in next is Tireless Tracker. This is one that's going to be in most lists. This is an amazing mid-range card.
Wonderful card.
Yeah. So it's for one green, two colorless. Tireless Tracker is a human scout, 3/2. Whenever a land enters the battlefield under your control, investigate. Whenever you sacrifice a clue, put a 1/1 counter on Tireless Tracker. Clues are amazing. It's one of the best things, in my opinion, that Wizards of the Coast rolled out. It's just card advantage for, well, frankly, for some colors that didn't have card advantage. I mean, it pairs so well with Lotter. And that's probably enough said. I mean, these cards are going to exist in a lot of lists.
Yep.
Our next one's going to be Sakura Trial Welder.
Gold Steve.
Yes, Steve.
Good old Steve.
Steve is
making the rounds for
Steve
a thousand
years.
Steve
is reliable. Years. He sacrifices himself for, and he searches for a basic land card, enters the battlefield tap for a 1/1 snake shaman for, yeah. I mean, Steve is in most lists. It's going to show up. The last one that we've kind of touched upon, and it's just like
Ram. Think of it like a male goat, and then you're going to sleep. Oh, Ram, nice. You, nah.
Gotcha. Ram, Crucible of the Worlds. Crucible of Worlds. That one's just another absolutely amazing card. Pairs well with this entire package.
Yeah.
It exists in most lists. It's not a far reach that's already there.
Yep. Great card. Great card.
We've already talked about Strip Mine and Wasteland ad nauseum. All these pieces just loop in. Am I missing anything?
No,
this package is pretty much at a wrap.
So, yeah, I think a really good job. Anthony, I know that we've talked. This has kind of been a discussion that we've had going on, obviously, well before we recorded the episode of this podcast about Lands Matters. And we've just gone into so much detail about, you know, in our discussions, whether or not it can exist as a support package, whether or not you want it to kind of be a secondary strategy in your deck building or in your archetypes. If you're a cube curator and you kind of feel like, hey, I'm interested in putting together Lands Matters as either a primary strategy or a secondary strategy. Yeah, a lot of these cards are not uncommon as kind of regular cube cards, but maybe this has just shed a bit of light on some interesting ways to go about putting that into your cube.
Yeah, I only had to take about, as I said before, 14 pieces of real estate, probably even shed it down to about 10 to 12 to really emphasize this package, where I added some components. We'll say the Avengers Zendikars, the Titania.
Like titanium.
Yeah.
English is hard.
Yeah. Magali Vilna. Shout out to you and your wonderful art.
And that pretty much concludes this episode. Like I said before, if you got any questions or anything you want to learn about it, you can reach us at...
Yeah, hit us up at Twitter, at UberCubeMTGPod. You can reach us at UberCubeMTGPodcast@gmail.com. And also, if you check us out on Twitter, you'll see a link to our Discord, which is the UberCube Discord. Feel free, stop by, check us out. If you got any questions about Magic or Cube or anything Magic related, come by, stop by and say hello. We're always willing to hang out and chat with the community.
Yeah, man, this has been a fun episode. You guys have a good one. Peace out.
Bye.